joy set before you. So you and I are going to have to endure if we're going to enter into that dimension or level of joy where it is eternal, it is constant. But the thought tonight is, wherefore seeing, we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So there's more witnesses than just you and I who are alive and breathing oxygen today. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have already lived for God, and they have a testimony that they have pleased God, that they finished the race, that they kept the faith, and they stayed on course, and they have entered into their reward. I'm glad that I have witnesses, not just before me, but those that have gone on before me. You hear what I'm saying? And so let's just reach out to the Lord tonight, because we want to just kind of have some dialogue here concerning the importance of being not just a witness, but a true witness. A true witness, a faithful witness. Because if you read the scripture, there's a lot of verses that talk about a false witness. And we don't want to, we want to remain apostolic and not move into apostasy. We want to be a true witness and not a false witness. That's one of the things that God hates, is a false witness. And the abomination is he that soweth discord among the brethren. So we want to avoid becoming a false witness. We want to be a true witness for the Lord. So let's just pray for just a few moments. Shall we join together? Let's pray. Amen. I need the Lord tonight. I need the Lord tonight. I need the voice of God tonight. I need the knowledge of God. I need understanding that comes from God, from His mind. Come on, let this mind be in you. Come on, let it work in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Ghost, you have the mind of Christ, but you've got to learn to let it work. Let it speak. Let it communicate. Let it download into your spirit. Hallelujah. The intelligence of God, the feelings of God. Amen. What God wants to accomplish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The will of God. Oh, we want you, Lord. We desire you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This world is not our home, but it looks like we're here now. And I don't know how long we're going to be here, but while we're here, we want to be faithful unto death. We want to be faithful unto death. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The death, amen, of our flesh. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful as you have been. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for taking the time to be here tonight. Praise God. Why don't you just let someone know, thank you. God bless you for just coming tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Have you worked hard today? Or has she worked hard today? But you're here. You work hard, Dave, but you're here. Amen. We're here. We made it. Praise God. I wonder how it's going to be like when we get in that place, in that place. There's going to be a lot of time for fellowship. Hey, amen, I'm looking forward to that. We're going to get to talk a while and share, amen, our testimony with others and hear their testimony. Let's read Acts chapter 20, verses 19. Acts chapter 20, verse number 19. Now, this may be elementary to you, but the Word of God is the Word of God. And sometimes I need to be reminded that 9 times 9 is 81. Sometimes I need to be reminded that 5 times 7 is 35. Is that right? Sometimes I need to be reminded that you spell the or the, T-H-E. So there may be some elementary things discussed tonight, but just endure to the end, and the same shall be saved. Praise God. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 19. it is speaking of Paul and his ministry and his travels and his faithfulness that he served and the various seasons of life and through all of the difficulty. He says, Paul, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. It wasn't easy for this man of God. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. It's like he's saying, in spite of everything that I went through, in spite of the people that were trying to tear me down and tear my testimony of the Lord, in spite of all of their efforts, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I've showed you and I've taught you publicly from house to house, testifying, everybody say testifying, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So he is communicating to everybody, to the Jew and also to the Greek. And what is he testifying? He is testifying about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there. So he has this insight, he has this knowledge of some things that he is about to do. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Apparently it didn't matter. Save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. They bother me. They frustrate me. Some of these things bring heaviness. Some of these things cause me to feel depressed. But they don't move me from my foundation and from my relationship with Jesus Christ. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. You're hearing from the words of a living martyr. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to what? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. When I read these words, I am convinced that this man is so full of purpose and so full of determination that it does not matter what he has been through or what he is about to go through. This man had his mind made up. Somebody say, as for me and my house, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to keep on going. They're going to be killing more of us Christians in the next few days, in the next few weeks and months. It's already happening. It's not a new thing. It's been happening for years. And it's going to continue to happen, and it's probably going to get worse. But I believe I'm among people that you have already made up your mind, that you have already determined in your spirit that it doesn't matter if the floods, amen, if they come into my house, if the storms rage or the winds blow or persecution comes, amen, or people reject me or people slander my name, it does not matter. What matters is I have a race to run. I have a ministry to fulfill. I have a call of God upon my life. I have an unction of the Holy Ghost, and I have been empowered to be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ that he is alive forevermore. He is large and in charge. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still has all power in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And he is the Lord of my life, and he reigns supreme. Hallelujah. And his kingdom kingdom reigns in my life. And wherever I go, I bring forth the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How do you know that? Because I come with power. I come with authority. Amen. And as a result of my compliance and obedience and walking in harmony in the yoke of Jesus Christ, we too, like Jesus, will keep on praying, keep on casting out devils, and we will keep on seeing the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And we'll keep on loving our enemies and praying for those who despitefully use us, blessing those who curse us. That is the fruit of the kingdom of God. This man was so determined. One figure of speech is, this man was ate up. You ever heard that term? He was ate up. He was so full. Somebody say full. I want to be so full. I don't want to just tiptoe through it. I don't want to hang out in the kiddie pool of Christianity. No, 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 no. You can't really go anywhere just splashing your feet around in the kiddie pool. Amen. God's trying to teach us some things. He is trying to teach us and show us that what He has done then, He can do now. And He doesn't need a building called a church to do it in. That He can do it at McDonald's. He can do it at Lowe's or Home Depot or a Publix. Amen. Because He is God. And He's looking for somebody to be a witness unto Him that will give evidence to the world that He lives and He has power and He still delivers. I thank the Lord. I've recently received some opportunities to share and testify the goodness of God, the work of God, the power of God. I was checking the oil in my vehicle the other day, and there was a young man come walking down the sidewalk, and I've seen him before. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, what's wrong with him? He's walking like this, and he's a young man. I would guess in his early 20s. And I said, well, maybe he had a stroke or maybe he was just, you know, born crippled. I didn't really know. And he came walking in front of my yard on the sidewalk, and he said, how you doing, sir? Have a good day. I said, hey, young man. I said, every once in a while, just lift your hands or lift your eyes and just thank the Lord for another day that He has made. And he stopped. And he turned around and he said, sir, are you a Christian? Well, I do believe in God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he made his way toward me. And long story short, he opened up and shared that with me that he had been hit by a car. And it just busted him up really bad. And I began to testify of the goodness of God and what God can do. And he said, pray for me. Please pray for me. Pray for my brother Andre, my brother Dante. So every day since then, if I'm not mistaken, every day something will happen and I'll remember Mike and Andre and Dante. Salvation's coming. Salvation's coming. Because God has a witness in the neighborhood. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that it doesn't matter where I'm at. Amen. It doesn't matter if I'm in a grocery store or pumping gas. Hallelujah. Or mowing grass in my front yard. I want to be available to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And be able to testify that He lives, that He is good, that He has power, that He wants to save. Amen. I was so challenged and so inspired and so convicted last week when Pastor began to speak and minister on the subject of being a witness. Amen. Notice, before these disciples were considered preachers, they were known by the evidence, by their works, that they were witnesses. John the Baptist is referred to as a witness of that light. He was there to bear witness of that light, and that light was Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it speaks of witnesses. In fact, if you read about the tabernacle in the wilderness, it's called the tabernacle of the witness. But in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 5 and verse 25, I'll just read those two verses and we'll just, you know, continue to talk a little bit. Proverbs 14, verses 5 and verse 25. Amen. I'm so glad God's my helper. I sure couldn't do it without Him. Proverbs 14, verses 5 and 25, it says, a faithful witness, everybody say, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A true witness, in verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Everybody say, a faithful witness. Say, a true witness. In fact, Friday night we were there over by the fairground, and we were able to spend some time with some gentlemen, and we met five more guys there, and got a chance to just be a witness and testify of the goodness of God. You know, they didn't know that I lived with a drug dealer. I was selling drugs in middle school. I had all I wanted and all everybody else wanted. Somebody say, I got a pass, but I ain't going to let you know about it. But that's about as far as we're going to go. So I started very young due to exposure. And I'm glad to be able to stand here today and tell you, you don't have to be a product of your environment. You can be the product of your choice. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like Him. Nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live. You decide for you, and I'll decide for me. You know the rest? You don't have to lean upon the crutch of your past, but you can have a better future by making right choices. Right choices. And the reason why you have the ability to make right choices is because someone made a choice to save you. He chose us before we ever knew Him. Why don't you look at somebody and tell them, He chose you. And aren't you glad, that He chose you? And we're going to find out why. A witness is one who gives evidence for or against another. A witness testifies. Everybody say testifies. Shares or gives proof of something or someone. Now, I can testify that Mike Merritt is an extremely talented and gifted fisherman because I have fished with him. And that man, he knows the water. He knows where the bait is. He knows the technique, the tactics, the strategy. He knows how to maneuver the boat. He knows where to go and when and how long to stay. He knows the tides. I'm a witness because I have been with him and I've seen him at work. Somebody say a witness. The word faithful and true here in Proverbs 14:5 and 25, faithful and true, it speaks of sureness. It speaks of reliability. It speaks of stability. It speaks of a continuance. Everybody say a continuance. Amen. And I thought this today that if you and I are going to be a reliable and a credible, a true witness, amen, then we need to learn how to be consistent in our relationship with God. I'm not talking about just in your ministry, because you can be consistent in ministry and deficient in relationship, and you probably won't reach your destination in God. And you can figure that out if you need to, or just live and see. But if we're going to be a true witness, if we're going to be reliable and have a credible witness testimony, then we have to learn the importance of being consistent, being firm, being stable, unwavering. Praise God. Now, I know that there are people, even in Scripture, and we have ourselves. We have ourselves. We've slipped. We've messed up. We've done things, said things, you know, mishandled people and situations. But I'm so glad that God was merciful, and He took care of us, and He helped us through and get back. He helped Peter. Remember when Peter had denied the Lord? You see, Peter was a witness. Yeah, he was a witness. And it was very, very difficult for him to deny. And they could just tell by being around him and his attitude, his speech, that this man was with Jesus. But then he started cussing up a storm. I don't know the man. That's what happens when you follow Jesus afar off, and you're not walking in step with him. When you walk far off, your vision gets blurred. You lose clarity. So Peter denied the Lord, and it had a negative effect on him. It affected him. And perhaps one reason why he may have done what he did is because he was offended and he was upset with Jesus. Because just a few verses before, Jesus rebuked him and called him a devil. Because Peter was so familiar with the presence of the Lord that he still did not know the purpose of the Lord. And that's how church folks can be. We can be so familiar, oh, God was in that place. But sometimes we can be guilty of leaving and still not knowing the purpose of God or God's objective and what God was saying in that service. I didn't mean to go down those streets. I'm sorry. Let me get back on track here. Occasionally we'll kind of go through a little detour. Amen. I'm trying to get back on the main street here. But we do need to mature to a place in God where we can be stable and firm and consistent, particularly in our relationship with God, because that is the key of being a powerful witness, is your relationship with God. Not having all the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are resident in the Spirit. You need to have a relationship with the Spirit, who is God. All right? Does that make sense? In the New Testament, the Greek word is martis or martyr, where we get the term martyr. That's the Greek term or word for witness. In its verb form, it means to affirm something. Heard, seen, or experienced. I can be a witness to that because I saw it, I heard it, I experienced it. It also means to give report or to give testimony or to bear record. Everybody say to bear record. All right. And when you look in the Bible, Luke chapter number 24, verses 46 through 48, I'm going to read a few verses and kind of run through them really quick. And said unto them, thus it is written, Jesus is speaking, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said to them, ye are witnesses unto these things. Notice he said that before they received the Holy Ghost. Okay? So there are levels of witnessing. Does that make sense? Am I using the appropriate terminology? In Acts 2 and 32, this is in the midst of Peter's preaching. This is the day of Pentecost when they had all in the upper room received the Holy Ghost, and he stood up and began to preach to them. In verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, and then he says, whereof we are all witnesses. He's preaching again in chapter number 3 after the miracle, the lame man that was healed. You know, such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and he pulled on him. And at the point of contact, strength or virtue was released, and the man's ankle bones received strength. And of course, he followed the instruction. He got up and he was healed. But it says in verse 14 and 15, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you've killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Everybody say, they were witnesses of that. They were there when they crucified him. They were there, and Jesus appeared to them and made himself known to them. Acts chapter number 5, the God of our fathers, this is verses 30 and 32, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And then he says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, we're going to take witnessing to a whole nother level. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts 10:39. And we are witnesses of these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. You know the reason why you're here? Because he chose you before. And then when he called for those he chose, you answered. All right. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So after reading these scriptures, I have come up with a conclusion that in my view, based on my observation of these particular scriptures, those disciples who knew the Lord became very powerful and effective witnesses. Everybody say, those that knew him. You notice in the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, I think it's verse number 32, the end of that verse, it says, but they that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It does not say those that have known. It says those that do know. So there is a current relationship of knowing God. And I mentioned a few weeks ago in the message about knowing God that the key to knowing the will of God and the ways of God and how you and I might please God is discovered in the course or in the process of perpetually knowing God, because he reveals things to those who know him. All right. Are you still with me? So those that knew the Lord became very powerful and very effective as witnesses. Now, I don't know if they had taken classes in hermeneutics or sermeneutics. I don't know if they took all those classes that you take in seminary. I don't think so. But I do believe that they were with Jesus and they knew Jesus. They heard about Jesus because they were there in his presence. And what I'm saying is they heard his voice. They watched him. They smelt his breath. They were so close. They knew Jesus. They were there. They could testify. Yes, he is good. Yes, he is righteous. No, there's some stuff he does not tolerate. Yes, he will deal with Pharisees, and he will deal with hypocrites, and he will deal with his own children. that get out of line, and he will rebuke those that he loves. How many has ever been rebuked by leadership? Been rebuked by the Holy Ghost inside you, done something, said something, made a decision, then all of a sudden you feel something conflicting with your spirit. That's probably the Lord rebuking you and say, boy, what the world are you doing? I didn't authorize you to do that or say that or go there. The reason why he does it is because he loves you. And if he just lets you do whatever you want to do, you will become a false witness. And you'll end up, let me just move here. All right, here we go, here we go. Acts chapter number 4, verses 33. Acts 4, 33. If you're there, just say, I'm here. Acts 4 and 33. And with great power, that's the same word used in Acts 1 and 8. You know, power, the word power, I think it's wise to look at the Greek to see whether it's exousia or if it's dynamis or dunamis, to know whether or not it's power, might, strength, ability, virtue, or is it authority, right, or jurisdiction. In this case, he says, and with great power, dynamis or dunamis gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says, and great grace was upon them. So before, you know, they were going around, they were telling people, oh yeah, Jesus is in town. He's getting ready to heal some people. Just bring all the sick people, bring them. The Lord's. I'm telling you, He's coming. He's coming. You don't even have to. You don't even have to get Him to lay hands on you. You can just touch Him as He goes by, and you'll get your healing. So they began to testify, and people came to the Lord for healing or for a miracle as a result of a testimony. But here, it's a whole nother level now. It's a whole nother level because they were not just with Jesus. Now Jesus was inside of them. And if you read the book of Revelation, it'll tell you that Jesus is the true witness. He's the faithful witness. And now they had the faithful witness, the true witness, resident in them. And they become the mobile home. You know, we how we quote that scripture in Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You notice it's not dealing with His omnipresence. It's dealing with His manifestation. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? He's not just floating around. He's in His body. He's in His body. So what that means to me is when I show up, Jesus shows up. Because Christ is in me. And He's the hope of glory. And He's the refuge. And He's the power source. And He's the great physician. And He is the deliverer. And wherever I am, there He is. Because He dwells not just with me, but He dwells in me. And when two or three are gathered together in His name, come on, how much more shall there be a manifestation of who He is and what He is able to do? That's why I love coming into this place and getting together with the family of God. Amen. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I were not there. Now, if you were there, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. If you were there and Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again, you were there on that mountain when he was talking to his disciples, and then he was taken up into the cloud. Let me see your hands. Were you? No, none of us were there. So we can't say we were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. We can't say that. You know, there's three types of witnesses, to my knowledge. There's the eyewitness, there's the expert witness, and then there's the character witness. I cannot say that I am an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can't say that. And I don't think I qualify to be an expert witness. I don't think I'm quite there yet, brother. I don't think I'm quite there yet. But I am a witness of His character. I am a witness of His ways. I am a witness, not just... of seeing the resurrection or being there, but I am a witness and you're a witness if you have the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Amen. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. So we are empowered to be witnesses by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so now we can testify. Now we can be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a dead Jesus, but a resurrected Jesus, a glorified Jesus, a powerful Jesus, a Jesus who is Almighty God all by himself, everywhere present. We are witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you notice in the court of law, those people who become witnesses, whether it's a jury trial, you know, they're selected, you know, interviewed, they have to take an oath that they'll tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Huh? I wonder, have I made that kind of oath in my spirit, that kind of commitment, that kind of pledge, that kind of promise that I'm going to speak truth to my neighbor? I'm going to speak truth and love to this world, to the people around me. Amen. Because I've taken an oath. I've made a pledge. I'm in a covenant relationship with God. And I don't want to become a false witness. I want to be a true witness. I want to be a faithful witness that he lives. He lives. He lives, and he has all power. But when I look at the disciples, I see men who were qualified in all three areas: eyewitnesses, expert witnesses, and character witnesses. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, we read it last week. Pastor read this verse. He taught on it, but you shall receive power. Now, I personally think that this part of this verse, maybe even the whole verse, was a prophetic utterance. Because you notice Jesus spoke this before it happened, and it actually happened. So when I read this, it looks very, very prophetic. And he says, but ye shall receive power, dunamis again, strength, ability, virtue, and might. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Sound like Jesus knew what was about to happen. Huh? Do you think he knew what was about to happen? Of course he did. The foreknowledge of God, absolutely. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he didn't stop there. And he prophesied some more. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. He spoke it, and it happened, and they became what he said. You ever notice some people, not very many, but there's some people that come in, they get the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has all power. Huh? But they never become a true witness. You ever notice that? They make choices contrary to God's plan for their life. And they never, you see, God doesn't force you. This is not automatic. You don't just automatically become such. No. No, you notice the Bible says he gives you the power to become the sons of God. Huh? He don't just force it on you and impose it on you and make you. Huh? But that we have to be willing. We have to choose what he has chosen for us. We have to come into agreement and into harmony and in conformity to his word so that we can do his work. Amen. Am I making sense so far? All right. I don't want to go so fast that you miss the point. After the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. Notice what he said here. He said in Jerusalem. Notice he's dealing with geography here now. He first said it's going to happen in Jerusalem. And that's where it happened. And how many knows that's where the Holy Ghost was poured out? And that's when Peter stood up, started preaching, testifying, witnessing, and exhorting. And 3,000 people were baptized in one service. Incredible. He said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Somebody say, it's going regional. And we're going to move into Samaria. I don't know what they thought when they heard that. Like, what Samaria? What are you talking about? Well, I never even been to Samaria. I don't hang out with the Samaritans. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. But he didn't stop there. He said, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when I was thinking about that today, I said, wow, that ministers to me. That challenged me. That kind of gives me some focus, gives me some direction that me, amen, as a child of God, as a witness of God, that I need to be such in my own home. That I need to be able to represent and reflect and testify of the life of Jesus Christ in my own home, among my own family, among my own kinfolk, among my own relatives. Because what if the whole world thinks you're just some superstar Christian celebrity, and then the people that you're the closest to haven't even seen an ounce of what Jesus is all about? I don't want that to be my reality. I want it to start at home. My kids need to know that I'm not just some preacher or some teacher or some church attender. Amen. They need to see that I am a true witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that my very life gives evidence that He is real, and He is real in my soul and in your soul. Our children need to know that we are true and that we are faithful and that we love God not just with our mouth but with everything that we are, and it becomes evident. Amen. Amen. My wife needs to know that I love God and God dwells in me and I dwell in Him. Amen. My home, my family, my brother. Amen. I remember one time getting a call late at night, my brother, and some of you heard this story, but I don't think my brother had ever been to church, never been in a service, I don't think, where I was preaching, but my brother called me one night late. I said, Danny, I need you to come over here. I need some help. Long story short, him and his girlfriend were there. I drove across town up to Jupiter, began to share with them, opened the Word of God, began to testify, began to witness. And man, I didn't have a sermon. I was just there as a witness. Hallelujah. Just testifying of what God can do. Amen. God's delivering power. Long story short, we took him. Amen. He agreed. He said, yes, I want to do this. Amen. So we took him to the water. Hallelujah, we snuck into some place. I don't know if it was your place, but we snuck into this little place. I don't advise you do this. But we snuck into this place. I mean, we were pretty desperate, you know. I'm like, man, I didn't want to go to the ocean at night, you know. There's sharks that come up close to shore. So we took him to this little pool, you know. The gate was open, forgive us, Lord. You know what? I think the Lord forgave me a long time ago, so I just hope that you'll overlook that that little, you know, discrepancy or whatever. So we took him in, and he was, we got into the little spa whirlpool there. And I said, all right, son, let's reach out to God. Let's just call on the Lord today. Oh, God, we need you. We desire you. I gotta be saved. And, you know, I was just kind of coaching him through the process of reaching out to the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord. Say, if I call on the name of the Lord for you, you can't be saved. You got to call on the name of the Lord for yourself if you're going to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, he froze up like this. And all of a sudden, his countenance changed. His eyes started glowing. He looked at me with this ferocious look. And I'm telling you, you're talking about speaking in tongues. I had nobody there with me. And he was bigger than me, and he was badder than me. He was, and he could have took me. I'm telling you, I know him. I trained him. But he surpassed me, and then he became my friend. But he was there in that water. I'm telling you, he became so vicious, and it was crazy. I'm like, man, this is scary. My flesh was scared to death, but the Holy Ghost was in me, and I just began to pray. Amen. I don't know if it was a war tongue or if I was just calling angels. I don't know. Amen. But I'm telling you, that young man, he was a bellboy. He started roaring like a lion. I'm not going to do what he did, it was scary. People started running out of they had a little club there, a little community club there. I'm telling you, they started coming out of that place. His girlfriend and the child left. They all left me alone. I'm like, what the world? I hope there is deliverance here today. So he roared about 3 times as loud as he could. I'd never seen anything like it all my life. And after that last roar, it came out of him. That spirit came out of him. And then he fell limp right there in the water. Long story short, I baptized him there in Jesus' name. He come up out of that water, and I began to pray for him. He was delivered of that demonic spirit. Amen. Amen. I was just a witness there. That's all I was. I was just a witness. Amen. In fact, he interrupted me. I was hanging out with some friends, having a little get-together. I think it was brother and sister Baez. Some of you remember them. I'm like, man, this is so inconvenient. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be a true witness, I'm telling you, if you're going to be a true witness, you might get a call at 10 o'clock. You might get a call at 1 o'clock. Some of you God can trust because he knows who to talk to at 3 o'clock in the morning. Thank God. Hallelujah. I haven't reached that level yet. Amen. But God's talking to some people, and he'll say, hey, it's time to get up. Amen. I need a witness right now. I need a witness right now. I need somebody to agree with me in prayer. Hallelujah. And me and the Holy Ghost, and you and the Holy Ghost begin to pray and travail, amen, and intercede. And all of a sudden, there's an angel loosed, amen, to another part of the country. Hallelujah. And somebody else, amen, that's diseased and demonically influenced, they suddenly begin to rise up, and they have this consciousness, this awareness that I need God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That doesn't happen because you're some superstar preacher. It happens because you're a witness that is sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Someone that God can trust. Amen. God needs a witness everywhere. Everywhere. He needs a witness everywhere. Every hospital needs an apostolic witness. Every school needs a witness. We've got teachers who are apostolic witnesses. Hallelujah. The people on that campus, they may not ever hear, amen, a preacher per se preach a sermon in a pulpit in a church building. But I'm telling you, they can be exposed to glory. They can be exposed to the peace of God. They can be exposed to the delivering power of God through one man or one woman who made their mind up, I'm going to utilize this power, the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to open my mouth, amen, and I'm going to do something, I'm going to say something, and give evidence to the reality that he is God, and that he changes not, and that he is the same today as he was then. And if he healed them then, he can heal them now. If he raised them then, he can do it. And I'm here to testify that God is a way maker. He is the wheel in the middle of a wheel. He is the deliverer. How do you know? Not because I read it in a book alone, but because I'm a witness, because I experienced it. He delivered me. He delivered me. And now I can stand and testify truly that he is a delivering God. Woo! Let's all stand together. We're going to take witnessing to a whole new level. Hallelujah. A whole new level. Amen. Get to the place where the sons and the daughters prophesy. Hallelujah. Amen. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young people praying people through to the Holy Ghost. Not because of their academic achievement, not because of their intelligence, but because of the power that worketh in them. And you know the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There's no period there. But according to the power that worketh in us. Who's us? The witness. The witness. I'm a witness and you're a witness. That means everywhere you are, you can be a true witness, a faithful witness, and give evidence that he is Lord. And give him glory. Let's lift our hands to the Lord tonight. Woo, my God. I got neighbors to reach. I got people in my neighborhood. Oh, they need a true witness. They need a faithful witness. Hallelujah. Oh, they need an ambassador for Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. An ambassador, amen, that has been trusted with authority and power, resurrection and life, hallelujah, knowledge and wisdom and understanding, praise God, can pray the prayer of faith. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, that's you, that's me, that's us, that's the body of Christ. It's a powerful, powerful body. Hallelujah. We just have to wake up and realize what is in us and who is in us and what he's able to do when we let him, when we let him, when we let him, when we let him. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I'm not looking forward to being a great preacher, a great speaker, but I do want to be a true witness. I do want to be a faithful witness. I want to be a witness to my family, amen, that he is Lord, that he is one. Hallelujah, that he's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen, he's not a Trinity. Amen, he's a Oneity. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to be a witness, amen, to my brethren. Oh, my old friends, my cousins. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I want to be a true witness, Lord. I want to be a true witness, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Oh, a witness that can weather the storm. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to soar like an eagle. An eagle does not run from the storm. An eagle launches into the storm, and he begins to maneuver and master the wind, and he moves to high places. Hallelujah, to it, so he can look low and look down at the things, amen, who are in desperate need of the Messiah, of the Jesus Christ that we know to be Lord and King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our neighbor. Let's pray for our brother. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can encourage one another in the Lord. We're going to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Praise God. Oh, yes, we can be true witnesses by the words that we speak and the works that we do. So in word and in work, let it be said, hallelujah, of the Lord, that ye are my witnesses whom I have chosen. You belong to me, hallelujah, to testify that I am God, that beside me there is no Savior. Hallelujah, he is God alone. Hallelujah. Come on, that's right. Let's pray for each other. Pray for each other. Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I was asking God the other day, Lord, I need some help overcoming intimidation. I need some help overcoming this inferiority complex. I need some help to cast down imaginations. I need some help to pull down strongholds, because I'm tired of quenching the spirit in me that's ready to witness. I'm tired of quenching the spirit in me that's ready to witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. West Palm needs a witness. Oh, West Palm needs a witness. Somebody that can testify that Jesus can keep you in the valley. That he can keep you, amen, in the storm. That he can provide for you. That he can prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. People around you and I, they need a witness. Somebody who has been there. And they've seen that he can do that. Oh, glory. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, let that power of resurrection surge through us. Let it surge through us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let there be a coming together. Let there be such an endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Oh, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, amen, in unity. Hallelujah, in agreement. Praise God that we're here on purpose, that we have a cause. Hallelujah, and the cause is we've got to be witnesses.
Yes. 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 Yes.
That's right. It's not you. It's the Christ in you. Oh, it's not your ability alone. It's the ability of Him who dwells in you. Somebody say, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the doctor's office, greater is He that is in me. Praise God. Our God can do what no man can do. He can do what science cannot do. Amen. He can do all things. Oh, and He does it well. He does it well. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. It is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He can do for you. And He can do through you. Can we lift our hands and thank the Lord tonight? It's time to be doers. It's time to be doers. I hope somebody pray. I hope God lays it upon somebody's heart this week. Hey, oh, hallelujah, to pray. Praise God. Come on, us preachers, we're good at preaching in churches, but sometimes we're overwhelmed with intimidation when we get out in the real world. There's safety and peace and such a refuge when we're here, but when we get out there, I'm telling you, it's vicious. It can be overwhelming. It can be intimidating. But I'm telling you, we need a generation, hallelujah, that the love of God is so full and so rich and so matured in them that it drives out all fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that it drives out all fear. Oh, it casts out all fear to the point that we don't succumb to that anymore. We don't yield to that anymore. We speak the truth in love, because it's only through knowing the truth that men can be free. You cannot know a lie. You can only believe a lie. You cannot know a lie. You can only believe a lie. But you can know truth. And knowing truth is liberating. Can we thank the Lord for His good word tonight? God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. And I pray that you have heard the Lord speak to you personally, and that you're going to respond, that you're not going to leave this here, that you're going to take every crumb with you, going to take every crumb with me. Amen. Somebody say, savor the flavor. And we're going to share it with people this week. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. In case you were wondering where Pastor Kyle was, he was actually preaching to the